Hello, and I want to welcome you back to our continuation of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the book of 1 John. My name is Matthew Minona, teaching you out of the Bible verse-by-verse because, quite frankly, how else can we do it? God always intended his whole word, his entire counsel, to be an instrument of edification for his people. And part of that edification is reading the parts that bless us and make us feel good, but it's also about reading the parts that challenge us and convict us about our behavior. And our ultimate goal is what? It's to become more like Christ. So I looked around and said, well, you know what? This world has enough churches, but I just don't think it has enough of the word of God. And so we created the hand car washing business called The Wash and Word. You've probably come and seen us already. Maybe you're sitting in the waiting room listening to these right now or hearing us on WMCH, 1260 AM radio. You can hear these messages Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And that's what we did. We created this business for the sole purpose of getting God's word out there in a way that's a little untraditional. And that's okay. Status quo never changed the world, never changed anybody. We need to be a little radical sometimes. So stay tuned. I believe that this vision of what we're doing here is still blossoming and still growing. So I'm looking forward to see what God has next for us here at The Wash and Word. All right, we won't get into a whole lot of commercial here. We'll get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you missed any of our previous messages, just go to washandword.com. You can download and listen to them there. So we're in 1 John chapter 2. And we've just read verses 15 through 17, our last teaching. And we're looking at the three punches of Satan. And what John said in those verses was, look, here's how Satan operates. There's basically three weapons he uses, three punches. One is the cravings of the sinful man. That is the lust of the flesh, desiring things that our flesh wants. And then the second is the lust of the eyes. And that is, of course, seeing something that we want, and we lust after it. And then the boasting of what he has done, which is just another way of saying pride. So the devil uses those three weapons: things that we see, things that we want, and the boasting of what we have done. And so he says, don't love the world or anything in it. And we talked about this in our last teaching. John isn't talking about the world itself. God created a beautiful planet for us to enjoy, and while there's still places left to enjoy, let's get out there and enjoy this planet. There's some beautiful things out there in nature, but he's saying don't get caught up in it, don't be a part of it, because the more of the world that you are, then the more Satan's weapons will have an opportunity to affect you. And so what we're supposed to do and what we're trying to do, and that's why we teach this way, because when you get the entire counsel of God's word, we are able to distance ourselves from the draw that this world offers. If a nuclear weapon were to go off in, let's say, New York City, we would not feel the direct effects of it, but there certainly would be effects of that in the world itself. Just like when there's this certain stuff that Scott makes for your lawn. It's dollar weed killer. I used to use this a lot in Florida, and you put it all over your lawn, and somehow this stuff only kills the dollar weed but doesn't affect your grass. And that's how we're supposed to live in this world. We're supposed to be immune to the things that would otherwise kill us in a spiritual sense, or draw us, or cause us to sin. We are to live in this world. We are to be the grass while the dollar weed dies around us, so to speak. So Satan's arsenal only works well on those who have opened themselves up or have allowed themselves to buy into this world systems and, listen, its ideas and philosophy. And this is how we ended last teaching. I said that it isn't things or people that lead us into sin, but it is philosophy and idea that lead us into sin. So we can't say, well, so-and-so coerced me into drinking, and that's how it led to my sin. No, it isn't people, it isn't things. It's ideas and philosophy. And the devil's smart enough to institute idea and philosophy over individual instruments of temptation. Because ideas have consequences that extend far greater than just an individual trying to draw another individual away from the Lord. Now, I'm no oncologist, but I know that chemotherapy, you know, does something to your immune system. It kills the virus, or it attempts to kill the cells that are dying. But in the process, it also kills good living cells. And that's kind of how it is as we walk in this world. You know, we have the regenerative spirit, the living good cells of Christ and of the Holy Spirit in us. But at the same time, we're walking through a world that is constantly trying to kill not only the bad things in us, but the good things in us. So as we try to separate ourselves from the world, as we try to eliminate behaviors and, listen, ideas and philosophies of our thinking, well, sometimes the two get mixed up and they both end up suffering. So John breaks this down further by clarifying that in order to win this fight, we need to steer clear, not just of the world, because even if we go and buy a 20-acre plot of completely tucked away land somewhere, he's saying, no, don't just stay clear of the world in general, but we need to stay clear of its ideas and its philosophy. And those can creep in no matter where you are. And what are these ideas and these philosophies? Well, that is the second part of John's admonition here. And they are found in the things of the world. Now we are beginning to get somewhere. See, the greatest and the most destructive idea of the world is that this is the only life we will ever have. Do you understand the ramifications of buying in to that philosophy? That is a Gnostic way of thinking, that this world is flesh, it's now, and there is nothing after it. And even if there was something after it, it has absolutely no connection whatsoever to this world, to now. And so that is a philosophy, that is an idea that is destructive well beyond the intended or the surface idea. The greatest and most destructive idea of the world is that this is the only life that we will ever have. If you buy into the philosophy that this is it, everything from your grounding foundation is going to be affected in your life. If this is all we have to live for, the entire philosophy and everything you do, everything you live for, everything you think about, every plan you make, every vision you cast, every step you, I mean, it all is affected if you are buying into the idea that this is the only life you will ever have. Even worse than believing in reincarnation, which, by the way, a study proved that 32% of Christians believe in reincarnation. How is that even possible? I'll tell you how, because I'll bet you more than 32% of our churches have gotten away from teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God's Word. And when you start to cherry pick God's Word, you start teaching half-truth to people. And a half-truth is just another way of saying a lie, because a half-truth contains half-lie. And so if our congregations are not being taught the fullness of the Word of God, then they're going to start buying into these ideas and philosophies that John is warning us against. And we see this idea of that this is the only life we will ever have everywhere we look, if we look at the world. When we look at the world, we see the overwhelming, this is it, do it now, you know, get all you can, step on whoever you need to, because this is it. And we see it in advertising. In fact, almost everything in advertising is geared towards that idea, that destructive idea that this is the only life we will ever have. Almost all advertising is geared about what you can have now, what feels good now. Would it benefit you now? It's okay to be like this and go after that right now. And you see, this is why Jesus had the harshest words for the religious, self-righteous teachers of the law. Now, of the world, one can expect such ideas and philosophies and thoughts. You know, that mentality that I'm just speaking about, you know, that's expected of those who know not of the Christian faith, who know not of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The world is expected to think about what they can get now and what feels good now, because this is all that there is. It's expected of the world. They're just doing what comes natural to them. But the people of God? These worldly ideas have crept into the church and into the people of God. And I gotta believe that God has reserved the hottest places in hell for those of us that have promoted the afterlife and salvation and the promise of heaven for monetary gain, for power and prominence and selfishness. That is the ultimate prostitution of God's word. That is the ultimate blasphemy of his living word, of his son. And it is a world idea and philosophy that Jesus told us to hate back in the Gospel of John, we read in our last teaching. He said, hate the idea of the world. Hate the philosophy of the world. But if it infiltrates the ranks of the church, then it needs to be hated on a different level. And unfortunately, it's been in the church since the day the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. But let's scale this down just a little bit in the last few minutes that we have here. This invasion of the world that is in the church does not have to be a drastic and monumental event. That is, that it's subtle and it's hard to recognize, even if we are not well versed and well trained in the entirety of God's word. So I can easily point to lesser evils that many Christians have bought into, not even knowing that they are an offense to the Lord. But here's the problem. Bad theology leads to bad thinking, and bad thinking leads to bad living. Bad theology leads to bad thinking, and bad thinking leads to bad living. So the moment that preacher or teacher or pastor starts to thin out the word, he is promoting a bad theology. But he may not be saying anything bad, but if you leave out parts of what was meant to be preached and taught, then you are giving a bad theology based on the sin of omission. And that bad theology leads to bad thinking. And when your thinking goes wrong, what have you done? Well, now you've bought into the ideas and the philosophies that the world has. And so that bad thinking is ultimately going to lead to bad living. So to say, love not the world, is certainly a broad statement, as broad as the world itself. But to reject the worldly philosophies, we must also reject the worldly behaviors. To reject the worldly philosophies, we must reject the worldly behaviors. And now we're starting to get somewhere. Now we see the breakdown of the enemy's punches. You know, in a boxing mentality, the jab is the most important punch that a boxer has, because everything, whether it be a straight right or a left hook, every other punch works off of the jab. And so in order for us to look at the three weapons of Satan, which we will hear in the next few teachings, we have to work off the jab. And the jab is, we must reject the worldly philosophy, and in order to do that, we must reject worldly behaviors. And that's where we begin. Even though we're ending our teaching, that's where we begin when it comes to battling the three punches of Satan. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me. I hope you come back again tomorrow. Remember, come by the parking lot here in the Washington Word, anywhere in the parking lot area, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because we all need a word from God. If you have any questions, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.